brought me to the book of Psalm number 118. Text that claims our attention for the sanctuary service. Would that you go there with me. Again, this morning, I'm asking that you would keep your Bibles, your devices open, because I don't want to read everything that I want to read right now. I'll go back and pick up something after a while. Is that all right? Psalm 118. And we'll pick up the reading there at verse 19. Psalm 118 and verse 19. Mr. Haven, it's good to see you this morning. The word of the Lord reads on this wise. Open to me the gates of righteousness. Yes. I'll go into them and I will praise the Lord. This gate of the Lord, into which the righteous shall enter. I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me and art become my salvation. The stone which the builders refused has become the head stone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Say now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. Yes. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. This is the day which the Lord hath made.
Yes.
We will rejoice and be glad in it. Yes. Glory to the Lamb of God. Yes. Affected by an experience to change, we do know that this is our transitional Sunday. Today we begin the effect being that of praise. We've dealt with penitence and passion, purpose, which concluded with power on last week, and we began these next several weeks talking about praise. And I wish you would just look at somebody real good and just don't touch them, just say something to them. This is still the day. Glory to God. This is still the day. Still the day. I done got excited already. I wasn't this excited before I got up, but I feel it right now.
Yeah.
For the Lord has given us this word to encourage and help somebody along the way. This is a very interesting psalm. A whole lot has happened before we can get to where we are in the text. It's a psalm that we find here. We don't even really know who the real author is, who the human author is. There are several suggestions that might be given, but the consensus seems to be that the psalm is one of those post-exile psalms. It belongs to the time when the remnant had come back from Babylon and began to build up and show forth their Hebrew national life there in the promised land. Yeah, you can connect it with the celebration of the Feast of the Tabernacles, that annual feast of rejoicing that's recorded there in Nehemiah chapter 8. The walls of Jerusalem had been completed in spite of fierce opposition from Samaritans and some others. But the psalm, it might even have been written for this expressed occasion. It was Martin Luther, Prophet Coleman, who said this was his favorite psalm. He said, "This psalm has been of special service to me. It has helped me out of many great troubles when neither emperor nor kings nor wise men nor saints could help. Oh my God. That these words, this psalm is one that can help you when can't nobody else help you. Yeah, it's the last of the Hallel Psalms. You know, 113 to 118 that was sung at the close of the Paschal feast. Jesus probably sang this same song. I believe by the time I get through with the discourse that you'll find that here, there it was, him singing this same song. It's a messianic psalm, one that speaks to the Messiah. There are verses there that trend to who Jesus himself was as he walked these dusty roads and lived this life here on the earth. Bless his name. But it also is prophetic, looking beyond the Lord's first coming to his coming again. He's coming back. Y'all know he's coming again.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. To the time when he will deliver Israel from the foes of Armageddon even and lead the world into the millennial age. And so I wanted to be able to share with you some of the things that the psalmist has already presented before he gets to the text that I have read in your hearing, because it's really interesting, because it seemed like these verses might seem a little disjointed, particularly when you get to verse 24. Yeah, but he starts out with this position of praise. And as we go into this season where we're talking about praise affecting how it is that we can continue to go on and go forth in God, that will keep us, our heads from hanging low, that will keep us from falling down and not getting back up, that keep us from going out and not coming back in, this psalm opens up and it says to us, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endureth forever. He opens up with that right now. That he said that his mercy endures forever. And I thank God for his mercy. I told y'all in times past that I thank God for grace. I love his favor, but his mercy is what keeps on giving me one more chance. Because I don't get what I deserve. Look at verse 5. It says, I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. Right. Oh, glory to God. He said, I was in trouble. I was distressed. And I called on the Lord. Set me in a large place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? Ooh, look at the psalmist. He said, I find myself in trouble. There are folk talking about me. There are folk coming at me. I don't care. What can they do unto me? Look at that, verse number 10. Come on with me. All nations compass me about, but in the name of the Lord will I destroy them. Listen how he speaks, y'all. Keep reading. They compass me about. Yea, they compass me about, but in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. It wasn't enough for him. He says it one more again, verse 12. They compass me about like bees. They are quenched as the fire of thorns. For in the name of the Lord, will I destroy them. But then, look here, verse number 13. Thou, now he's talking to his enemies. These are my enemies. He says, thou hast thrust sore at me that I might fall, but the Lord helped me. Oh, glory to God. He said, look at you. You tried to come at me. You tried to push me. One writer, one translation said, I was on cliff's edge, about to fall over, and he snatched me back.
Yeah.
Glory to the Lamb of God. Look at him. He said, that's what it is. Oh my God. The Lord is my strength and song, and is become my salvation.
Yes.
I find strength in the Lord.
Yes.
If when I sing, he blesses me, he saves me. Can I tell tell us that salvation happens for the believer one time. You get saved, you're saved forever. However, there is some other salvations that happen along the way that says to me that salvation is a keeping kind of process. That though it seems, God from Zion, it seems like you about to be taken out, God steps in. Woo! He makes a way out of no way. Yeah, that's what he said. You become my strength, my song, and my salvation. And my salvation. And my salvation. Y'all ought to thank God for his salvation. I know you're glad you got strength. I know, Deco, you can't stop singing. Oh, but bless his name for his salvation. Lord bless his name. Y'all, come on. Down to verse number 17. I'm trying to get to text today. He says, I shall not die. Look, y'all, the enemy was coming at me on every naked side. I'm telling you, he is trying to take us out.
Yes, amen.
Psalmist says, I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord.
Yes.
He said, I'm going to die. I'm not going to die, but I'm going to live.
Yes.
I'm going to live and not die. Yes. You know, that would be enough right there for the writer to finish that particular verse. However, he says, and declare the works of the Lord. Now, can I push pause right here? Ain't in the notes. Can I push pause and tell you, because Spirit dropped it just now, I said, tell them. That does not mean that if I let you live and not die, that you sit on your do nothing and do nothing. That you begin to talk of the goodness of God. You begin to tell folk how good God has been to you. And as one translation says, I will recount the illustrious acts of the Lord. Glory to God. Yeah, he says there, I shall live, I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. I'm in verse 18 and I'm going to get to the text. He says, the Lord hath chastened me sore. That means the Lord has disciplined me. He has beaten me. Oh, my God. He has disciplined severely. Do y'all see that? He says he has severely beaten. He has chastened me sore. But he hath not given me over unto death. Can I? Oh, thank you, Jesus. Can I push pause one more again and tell you that though it seems like you are getting ready to be taken out, he said, you're not going to die. He says, I'm allowing this stuff to happen to you to get you on back on track,
right,
so you can come on back into the kingdom, so you can act like you're supposed to be acting, that you can do what you're supposed to do. He says, he has whipped me. And I hurt, but he didn't let me die. He didn't kill me. Listen, the mess that I've been putting down wasn't enough for God to kill me. It's enough for him to chasten me, to discipline me, and bring me right on back. And so it is to get to our text. I like that. He says, he didn't give me over to death. God, I thank you. Because if life could have had its way, sure would have been dead long time ago. Thank you, Jesus. We get to the place of our text. There's a simple prayer that is being lifted here. Again, in verse number 19. Because, you know, I kind of gave us a, try to set us up on the way with this song. The Lord will bring the rescued earthly people of Israel to the temple gates. That's where we find ourselves. He will demand entrance, knowing that access is rightfully his. I told you this is prophetic. Now, here it is. Jesus is about to get up and start talking for himself. Hold up, y'all. Here, he says that he is going to demand access because it belongs to him. When you can, walk up to your house, your door, you can go in because it belongs to you. You ain't got to worry about nobody letting you in. You got your own key.
That's right.
You don't have to, you got your own passcode. You got a way of getting into stuff that belongs to you. And he says, go on, open up the gate. Go open up the gate. Fitting to come in. Glory to God. He gets access. Look at that. Verse 19. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go into them and I will praise the Lord. Yeah, when Jesus lived on earth the first time, he could enter the court of the Gentiles. He could enter the court of the women and the court of Israel, but not one step further. He could not go. He was born of the royal tribe of Judah, not the priestly tribe of Aaron, and could not go where the priests could go. All right? Now he's gone all the way in, into the holy place where only the priests could minister, into the holy of holies. Yeah, that was a band time, a bar time back in the olden days. You couldn't go back. It was hidden by the veil, y'all. That's where only the high priest could go. And they could only go there once they had gone through a whole lot of preparation and whatnot, to elaborate preparations. They could go in. Our Lord is the priest of a new order. The priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Yeah, the old Aaronic scheme of things has passed away. You can't worry about the Aaron priesthood no more. Access is his by sovereign right because the temple belongs to him. But then also he says that there its acceptance is rightfully his. verse 20. This gate of the Lord into which the righteous shall enter. It's talking about some special gate. This is a new gate. This is a special gate. The revised version rephrases this verse to read like this. This is the gate that belongs to Jehovah. The righteous may enter into it. We don't know where this gate is. Perhaps it's the gate that leads directly into the temple itself. But he also said there's an acclaim that's rightfully his. There's some praise that belongs to him. He says, I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me and art become my salvation. Yeah, this is his ultimate triumph to enter to the Holy of Holies. The returning Christ is not only allowed in there, but shouts of praise go along with him all the way. He don't just come in, but as he enters, there's a whole lot of hallelujahs. There's a whole lot of hands going up. There's a whole lot of fists bumping and carrying out. Here comes Jesus. There is some praise that happens as he enters in to the gate. There he is. He comes in. There is some praise that goes along with him. When King Uzziah tried to minister in the same place and instantly became a leper and was thrown out of there by the priest. Yeah, but Jesus has access, he has acceptance, and he has a claim because of the salvation that he brought with us at Calvary. Glory to God. Simple prayer gives way to the psalm to something else. This is simple prayer gives us something else right here. He's not just a simple prayer, but there's a sudden pause. So you got to push pause. The psalm says push pause right there in verse 22. Look at it. He said, the stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. The stone, contemptuously despised by the Jewish leaders when they rejected Jesus, is now the stone conspicuously displayed. You tried to throw me out, and how you like me now? There he is standing there. You know, the cornerstone or the headstone was the most important stone in the building. It was a strong stone made to cap the building, to bond the walls together. That's what held it together. And the Lord Jesus is the chief cornerstone. He who has cast aside, who was cast aside by the builders of the rabbinic Judaism, and whom they have consistently rejected ever since, is yet to be given his rightful place by Israel. He said, but it says that this is the Lord's doing. Mm-hmm. It is marvelous in our eyes.
Yes.
Come with me. Did you hear all of the other stuff that took place from verse 1 down to verse 18? There are some things that were happening and going on. Oh, he said, look at the enemies. The enemies that pushed me up against the wall. I had my back up against the wall, not just against the wall. I had my feet teeter-tottering over the edge of the cliff, about to fall off. God brought me back. He said, there are all these wonderful things that God has done. I've gone through some hard times and some heartache. I've gone through pain. There's been some miserable days, but God has been wonderful, and he's worthy to be praised. Oh, right here, though I may be rejected. This is the Lord's doing. Did you hear me when I said? The things that you go through right now, it is the Lord's doing. But the writer says it's marvelous in our eyes. Can I, you know, every other time that I read this, or every other time I heard somebody else read this, when it got to the place where it says it is marvelous in our eyes, ooh, great smiles come on your face. You ooh, just get excited. It's marvelous. When we think of marvelous, we think of something great. We think of something wonderful. Something that's extraordinary. But can I tell us that marvelous can also be good or bad? Because if you marvel at a thing, don't you shake your head at bad stuff?
Yes.
Don't you shake your head when stuff hurt?
Yes.
Don't you shake your head when you're crying?
Yes.
That's marvel. I just don't understand. Like, scratching your head, you're wiping the tears in the midnight hour. That's marvel. It's marvelous in our eyes. But whatever the Lord is doing, and whatever the marvelousness is, I'm through. Here it comes. There is the sounding of praise.
Yes.
Come on here. Verse 24. This is the day which the Lord hath made.
Yes.
We will rejoice and be glad in it. Say now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. Send some success, O God. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Look at it. He said, look. There ought to be a sound of praise. Praise. It says you got to praise him and then pray.
Yes.
We want to say prayer and praise. But the text here says praise and then pray. Do y'all see it?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. It's one of those wonderful kind of statements that the writer Rothenham, he says it like this. Ah, pray, Jehovah. Do save, pray. Ah, pray, Jehovah. Do send success, pray. You got those three English words, do, save, and pray. In his quotation, it's an exact rendering, he says, of the Hebrew compound word, Hashiana, which we transliterate into Hosanna. Save now. Yeah, it was the Hebrew equivalent of Britain's God save the king. Hosanna. It's what the multitudes cried as Jesus rode in triumph into Jerusalem a week before his crucifixion, making the Jewish leaders furious. Yeah, we see the Lord Jesus there at the portal of the temple. He's there at the door in a coming day. Then all the people will cry, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. This is the day. What day is it? This is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And then he begins to pray. He says, you got to praise and pray. This is the day. But Reverend, I'm sick. Body reckoned with plain. This is the day that the Lord has made. But the bills are due. Don't know where the money is coming from. This is the day that the Lord has made. You got to go to work and Mr. Tyler won't get his foot up off my neck. This is the day that the Lord has made. You don't know what I've been through, Reverend. You don't know what I'm going through. But this is the day that the Lord has made. When I lost my job, this is the day that the Lord has made. Things not going well at the house. Matter of fact, we had an argument before we left home this morning. This is the day that the Lord has made. Children acting a monkey fool. This is the day that the Lord has made. I got to bury my loved one. This is still the day that the Lord has made. Jesus found himself on a hill called Calvary, having been beaten and spat upon and scourged and nailed to an old rugged cross. He sang words like, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Because he knew that this was the day which the Lord had made. He kept saying something like, woman, behold your son. Son, behold your mother. Because this is the day which the Lord has made. He hollers back at the thief's request, today you shall be with me in paradise, because this is the day that the Lord has made. He keeps hanging there, and look, y'all, things are not getting any better, and all of a sudden he says one more word, Father, into thy hand I commend my spirit. And he hung his head in the locks of his shoulders. And he died because he knew that this was still the day which the Lord had made. And with arms stretched wide and a head bowed in reverence, honor, and praise unto his Father, he gave up the ghost. And his praise and his prayer was accepted and answered, because on the third day morning, the Father raised him up with all power in heaven and in earth in his hand. This is still the day which the Lord has made. Who will rejoice? Who will rejoice? Who will rejoice and be glad in it? For this is still the day. God bless you today.